Good morning, everyone. I'm Sheree Olaude. I've been married to Francisco for 18 years. We have 3 boys and 1 girl and no grandkids.
Now, Sheree, you got to kind of hold on that mic because you told a great story when we kind of walked through this yesterday. That was a great mother story. You mind telling us about that?
Yes. So one of the funniest moments that I can think of offhand, at the time I was at home and I had the task of taking the children to school. So at the time, Jacob, my youngest boy, he was in pre-K. So, you know, the hurries of life, trying to get everybody ready for school. Everything's, you know, rush, 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 and they're not doing what they're supposed to. So, you know, kind of screaming at them and stuff. So I told the oldest boy, Joseph, I was like, I'll be back to pick you up. I really got to go and drop the little one off. So I got in the car, me and the 2 youngest boys, and I dropped him off at pre-K, came back, and I was getting ready to pick up the oldest boy. Well, I backed into the driveway, and I was getting ready to pick him up and take off. And I heard the door open, and I heard the door close. So, you know, me being so busy as I am, I'm like, okay, he's in the car. So I drive off, and I proceed to go and drop the 2nd oldest son off. So in the process, I am asking some kind of question, and I look back, and I'm like, why is he not answering me? And finally, I looked up in the mirror, and I didn't see anybody back there. And I'm like, what? I know that I heard the door open. I heard it close. I know the boy got in. So I thought about it, and I was like, Lord, did the rapture come and I missed it? So it comes to find out that he came and he opened the door. He forgot something in the house, and I didn't hear him say, I'll be right back. So he closed the door, and I pulled off. So that's the story.
It's kind of like your own Home Alone story.
Yes.
Clarissa, why don't you share a story as well?
A funny story that I can think of off the top of my head, Rich reminded me this morning. We told our oldest son, who's 8 years older than his youngest son, to go get his little brother out of the toy section. So, you know, we're in Walmart, and we're way over on the other side of in the grocery part, and he had to go all the way over to the toy side to get Joshua. So we start hearing this, let me go! And then, let go of me! All the way across the store, I go, I know that's not our kid. I just know that's not our kid. And here comes Jonathan dragging Joshua by his foot, and he's on his back. He's dragging him all the way through the store, and I'm like, oh, my goodness, that is not my kid.
Bobby, you told an interesting story that you didn't find out until after your daughter was gone.
Well, one of the things she told me is when I heard her talking to other younger people, she was saying that she was pretty well girl, but for some reason she said, I didn't go to doctors because my mother would pray, and if she didn't till I was almost dead, would she take me to the doctors.
So your daughter's eyes, you about like killed her before you took her to the doctor. Well, it's one way to build faith into your children, that's for sure. And you know, when you think about this scripture in verse 5, here's the thing about Lois and Eunice that probably has not ever crossed your mind. They have funny stories about their kids and grandkids. And God has a way of just bringing in beautiful memories that really are in our life. But what we don't realize is we think, just when we read scripture, that, boy, that must not have happened in scripture. But actually, I almost guarantee you the opposite is true. They had incredible experiences. Now, I want to look at the first part of that verse. You'll notice that Paul says, I remember your genuine faith. Now, the interesting thing about faith is something that's both spoken and lived out. It's spoken and lived out. And if you're taking notes, you want to write this down, because this, by the way, is applicable to both men and women. It's not just women that this is true about. But in life and with our kids and in our homes and in our workplace and in the marketplace, more is caught than taught. People are going to watch you. They're going to watch your faith. They're going to watch how you respond in certain situations. They're going to listen to what you say when you're going through a difficult time. And so with our children, they actually watch mom, they watch dad, and they want to know how you're going to respond when it comes to the faith. And so what I did, one of the questions that I asked the ladies is I asked them to talk about maybe a story when their children or grandchildren accepted the Lord. Bobby, you want to talk to us a little bit about that?
First, I'll tell you about my daughter. She was about 9 years old when she met the Lord, and we lived in a place and went to a church that still used the river Little Arkansas rivers where she was baptized. And seeing her come out of that water, her little hands was just like this and tears was just coming down. And that was one of the most beautiful things I've seen.
So are you saying it was like really cold for her to get in that river and she was freezing from it?
No, she was, it was the spirit. Okay. She came out, she really had noticeably met the Lord. Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
In that cold river.
Our daughter gave her heart to the Lord when she was about 9, I think. And so she was all excited about getting baptized. And so she was telling her teacher about she's going to get water baptized. Well, in the process, she had gotten in trouble at home, and she'd gotten a spanking. And our spanking is like just a little pop on the behind. You
Yours,
know?
Maybe.
Yeah, anyway. So Richard was giving her a spanking, and he'd give her a little pop, and she'd be like, like that. So it took 17 of those to get her to stop going, And then she went to school the next day and told her teacher, I got 17 spankings yesterday. And, of course, her teacher was like, what? Do I need to call CPS on this family, you know? And so she said, no, you know, Krista seems to be pretty well adjusted. I'm just going to call her parents and talk to them. And so her teacher called and talked with us about that. And she goes, you know, she said you got 17 spankings. We were like, well, she didn't get 17 spankings, but she got 17 swats, and they're just like little pops on the behind, you know. And I don't even think they even hurt. It was just like her pride, you know. And so she goes, yeah, I know, Krista. I can see that, you know. And so, and then right after that, her teacher talked to her, and then she invited her teacher to come to her water baptism. And she came, and all's well that ended well. But, you know, it was a little bit scary there for a minute.
Well, my oldest son, Joseph, he was baptized, I would say, probably leaving eighth grade that summer, going to ninth grade. And it was a joyous occasion because he decided that he was going to accept Jesus for who he was. And he decided also to get baptized and let the world know that, you know, he had accepted Jesus. So it was a joyous time. At that time, we did a lot of outreach, and he was a part of it, so...
When I think that one of the great things that mom illustrates when it comes to the spirituality of their children is that just because a child is born into a Christian home doesn't make them Christian. The parents set the environment for the seed of faith to sprout. And where, you know, dads can be more like the angry, fiery God, moms have a way of being the graceful, loving Jesus that's willing to endure all the sufferings. Kind of a fair statement, do you think, the difference between the two? And it's the environment, I think it's important to understand, it's the environment that sets the opportunity for the Holy Spirit to work in the children's lives. So when Paul is saying, I remember your genuine faith, it didn't just happen. There was an environment set for the faith of Jesus to be able to come into the life of Timothy. And it was the grandmother and the mother that really set that environment for Timothy. And I think that's also important to understand that while we know that in Scripture Timothy had a dad, he was Greek, but it doesn't say anything about his spirituality. So if your kids don't have a dad or they have a dad that's not a follower of Jesus, you can trust that God still can use you to set up the environment for the faith of Jesus Christ to come into the lives of your children. And I think it's interesting that when you look at Lois and you look at Eunice, you see two characteristics of Christ that I think ultimately show up in the life of us as followers of Jesus that help set that environment for Jesus to come in. Lois, her name in the Greek, literally means agreeable. And when you think of somebody that's agreeable, what do you think about? You think about their characteristics. You think about their character. They're the kind of person that you want to be around. They're not the divisive person. They're not an angry person. They're a person that oftentimes just it doesn't seem to allow life to knock them to the right or the left. They're really kind of a person that's full of the fruit of the Spirit. So I think that if we're looking at characteristics that are really in place, that whether we're men or women, that allow the environment to be set to where we're really modeling what it means to be a Christian, it's simply this, that we display the character of Christ. We display the character of Christ. Now, how do we know when we think about the character of Christ? The character of Christ is really seen through the Holy Spirit and the fruits of the Spirit that comes out as we yield our lives to Jesus on a daily basis. The fruit of the Spirit found, by the way, in Galatians 5, verses 22 says, but the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, and faithfulness. Now, it doesn't mean that Lois and Eunice were perfect in their homes. It wasn't that Timothy never saw maybe Eunice and her husband get in a nice, you know, knocked down, dragged out fight, whatever that looked like, and see them, you know, argue back and forth. But ultimately, there was this display that allowed Timothy to see the fruits of the Spirit in both his grandmother and his mother. And the fruits of the Spirit, when they come out in our life, are not intended for us. The fruit of the Spirit is intended for others to come and to be able to receive and enjoy the fruit that the Holy Spirit develops in our life. So when I kind of threw this out at the ladies a little bit, I kind of framed the question maybe a little bit differently, but it's simply, I want to ask them, when you look at your kids, because now they're kind of looking at the fruit of the Spirit in their kids. What really brings you the most joy when you think about your kids? Sheree, why don't you start with that?
Well, for me, I think the one thing that brings me joy is the fact that they know if they need to pray about something. A lot of times they'll come to me and they'll talk to me and they'll say, well, this friend is going through such and such. You know, you probably should lift a prayer up for them. And then also just the fact that I know that as we come to church, my kids, sometime I'm tired, and I don't always want to come on Wednesday night, and they come to me, and they say, isn't it Wednesday night? And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, aren't we going to church? And I'm like, I guess. I'm tired. But then the fact that they want to go and learn about Jesus, so I know that brings me joy for that simple fact. And learning about Jesus means that they're getting a spiritual inheritance that they're building up on that they can go back to. So.
Yeah, that's good.
What was the question again?
What brings you the most joy when you think about your kids?
The most joy is knowing that they know that there's a God out there that does the impossible. You know, that they could live in nothing, there's nothing impossible life through Christ, and that they trust that he will be there no matter what, if it's bad, good, indifferent, you know, that that they can call on the Lord. And that's a hard thing to you know, teach your kids. They kind of have to see you walk that faith, you know, that the Lord can do all things, you know, and I'm glad that they caught it.
Did I surprise you with the mic? I'm sorry.
I'm still trying to get over the fact that my children are here. That's a surprise, and that's one of the things about them. They do well. I don't know how they do it, but they know always where I am, so they can surprise me when they get ready. But what I like about my children is that they all have church homes. They go to worship somewhere, even when they're visiting and away from home sometimes. And my oldest granddaughter, I think, has a special love that just permeates through all the rest of the children, because she had a special healing when she was 2 years old. And it was genuine, and it wasn't a lot of noise made about it, but she never forgot it. So much and so that when she got married, it was another group of people, another church, and 19 years later, but she had to have that minister to pray for her at her wedding.
Yeah, praise the Lord. Which I think, by the way, leads really powerfully where we're going to look next is you go and you look at where Lois's name means agreeable. Eunice's name means goddess of victory. Now, what's interesting about that in our culture today is that that Greek word is where a major, major company in our country got its name. And the name is Nike. Now let that sink in. They understood something about victory, and so they went after that word. And where our character sets is one way we set an environment or we model what we're looking for in children. That's the character of Christ. When you think about the victory, you really then you begin to display the power of Christ. Now, when in our culture, when we talk about displaying the power of Christ, We really think that, well, that's something for a TV evangelist. And you want to bring that up on the next screen for them, so if they're taking notes. That we think that that's something for a TV evangelist. That's something for somebody different than me. I'm still trying to get all my character issue works out. But one of the great things about the Bible is that from the very beginning of the Bible, there's not anything about a perfect person. Only Jesus was perfect. It's about imperfect people being used by a perfect God. And in 1 Corinthians 12, it talks about the context of the gifts of the Spirit. And why I bring that up is that where the Holy Spirit uses the fruit of the Spirit to show the character, the Holy Spirit will use the gifts of the Spirit to show the power of Christ. And I believe that the power of Christ is not intended to be limited to just the four walls of a church building, but to be demonstrated in everyday life. In fact, here's what the scripture says. It says, God works in different ways, but it is the same God who does the work in all of us. A spiritual gift is given to each of us so we can help each other. To one person, the Spirit gives the ability, wise advice. To another, the same Spirit gives a message of special knowledge. The same Spirit gives great faith to another. And to someone else, the Spirit gives the gift of healing. He gives one person the power to perform miracles and another the ability to prophesy. He gives someone else the ability to discern whether a message is the Spirit of God or from another spirit. Still another person is given the ability to speak in unknown languages. Now, while you know, if you have kids long enough, they come home and speak languages that are not from mom. So you got to interpret that at times. But I did ask them, though, because we don't think that oftentimes that God gives us these spiritual gifts to be used in everyday life. And so I kind of asked them the question, where when you looked at your raising of the children, did you see the activity of the Spirit giving you a gift to help you parent in maybe a little different way? Which one of you ladies would like to start out with that one?
I have the mic, I will.
Okay.
I think for me, I would have to say it would be wisdom at times, because sometimes God will speak to me and he'll tell me something, and I'll look back and I'll say, okay, that was the reason I did that. So,
Yeah, that's good.
I think with each kid, it's a little different. Sometimes God will give you discernment with one because they don't really speak out what's going on in their lives. And so, like with my daughter, if she was in a certain kind of mood, I knew something was on her heart and on her mind, but she isn't the type to just kind of bring it out and say something. So I'd have to pray about it and say, Lord, you know, what is it going on with her? How can I approach her in a way that she's going to respond and that we'll have some interaction? Because I know if I just start probing her, like the, okay, what are you up to kind of a thing, she'd be like, you know, nothing, you know. And so, you know, the Lord would give me just a special word to kind of open her up a little bit, and then we'd talk about stuff. And she had a hard time going through the change from being a little kid to a teenager. We called it the ugly duckling stage, kind of. You know, she looked, everybody kept thinking she was a boy when she cut her hair off. She donated her hair to Locks of Love, and she had really short hair, and she was on a soccer team. And some of the moms were like, what's that boy doing out there on the field? This is all girls team, you know. And so some of the other moms would speak up and say, that's not a boy, that's Krista, you know. And so she really felt like she was ugly. And we talked about the character of being beautiful on the inside, you know. In these times, the Lord teaches you that he loves you and that you're beautiful no matter what you feel like you look like on the outside. And then I said, you need to be beautiful on the inside, because when you're just beautiful on the outside, when you're older, you can still be ugly because you have ugliness inside, you know. And so the discernment helped me to, you know, navigate that avenue with her. And then she was beautiful on the inside. And then when she became beautiful on the outside, it was a full package.
I don't believe I was as much of a teacher at home as I was in Sunday school. I didn't say too much to her. I think I don't know that I was aware. I was trying to live what I thought was the right thing. But to tell her a lot, I didn't, because then as she got older, if I'd start to repeat a scripture to her, she'd finish it for me, so it was not too much for me to say to her.
I thought yesterday, too, you talked about you not having a mom and how the Spirit really helped you in that process. You want to talk just a little bit about that?
I will. I was aware that I was not equipped to be a mother because my mom left when I was 13 years old. And raised by a father, he would not remarry. And therefore, I just, other older women I become friends with more than people my age. But I still wasn't equipped, but that's what helped get me through raising her. But that's when I knew I needed God. And I had to trust him to help me and show me. And sure enough, there was things would come to me. I wondered where they came from, the discernment, and something that I needed, that she needed to know. God would just supernaturally give it to me.
So let me just continue just a little bit down, maybe a slightly different track, and we'll go back across with each of you ladies. But Bobby, I'll start with you. How do you pray for your kids?
I pray for wisdom, first of all, not earthly wisdom, but wisdom that they will trust God. I ask that he will just help them to make good choices, give them what they needed, not as much as what I could tell them, but what God could give them. And define trust. Learn what trust is. Look at it and see, what does trust look like? Are you going through things? Are you wondering how it's going to come out, or expecting me to get you out of trouble? You look before you make a decision. Don't let other people make decisions for you. And I pray that God will just, when they're not with me, that he give them what they need to be able and to treat people like they want to be treated. And God would really help them through every situation.
Sheree?
When I pray for my kids, usually I'll just pray that, again, like Ms. Bobby's saying, for wisdom, that, you know, God would impress upon their heart, and that they could have me to be example to them, you know, so that they would pick up on those things and that they would be a light to others, like the kids around them, even their teachers. And I also pray that God would put ambassadors around them, Lord, that could show them different things too, things that I may not be able to show them. I pray also for protection over them. I ask the Lord to always send angels to be with them, to sit on their shoulders and whisper in their ears so that they can make the right decision. And then since my oldest son is, you know, kind of in the dating game, I always pray, you know, for his future wife. So those are a few of the things that I pray for.
Yeah, a lot of the things that these two beautiful ladies talked about when they pray for their kids, I do all the same thing. I would pray for guidance and direction in their life, that the seeds of the Lord's word that was planted in their heart, that it would come to recollection when they need it, and that God would guide their what they do and what they say each day. And when the tough times come, that they're not too scared to ask for help, you know, because sometimes, you know, kids get themselves in quite a predicament and they think, oh, this, I'm so ashamed, I can't talk. So I said, you know, there's nothing, I told my kids this too, I said, you know, there's nothing that you could do or say that would make me not love you any less, and that, you know, people are more important than things, and if, you know, you break something, come and tell me and we'll just take care of it because you're more important than that. But anyway, I just prayed just for wisdom and guidance, and then also for my kids when they were dating, getting ready to look for spouses, I pray, you know, actually started praying for them when they were teenagers. Lord, I know that you have somebody selected for my child to marry. I pray that you would be protecting that person, guiding them and directing them, and speaking to their heart so that when they meet my son or daughter, that they would know that that was the person for them. And I also prayed for my daughter, my son, that they would have wisdom and they would trust in God to make the choice to pick the right one. And that they would be good husbands and wives for their spouses.
In developing and giving opportunity for genuine faith to happen in children, it's never done in a straight line. It doesn't go from one rosy story to another rosy story. There's a lot of stuff in between. But we know that the Spirit uses all of those things and everything so that ultimately, at the right time, the child can really come and say yes to Jesus. Actually, I was thinking of our daughter when she accepted Jesus. She got in trouble in Sunday school because Kathy would tell her, you gave your heart to Jesus last week. You don't have to give it every week. He's got it already. Because kids are kind of funny that way. They keep coming back and back and back. And I think the biggest thing is that we trust the Lord that our lives, that the Spirit, whether it's through the character or through the power of Christ, ultimately is seen, so it lays the foundation for a life of Christ to be built upon our children. Ladies, is there anything you want to give the ladies apart from maybe what we've already talked about?
Well, for me, I think I would just like to tell everybody, it applies to all, that when we live our lives, we should set an example for our children, because whether we know it, they're always watching, even when we think they're not. So I always think about the scripture in Deuteronomy 28 when it talks about how when we are obedient to Christ and how he blesses us. And then I think about the scripture that follows after that. When we're disobedient, then the curses come. So if I'm to live my life as an example for my children, then just like we want good things, I want good things for my children. And my Heavenly Father wants good things for me. So I want my children to receive the blessings. I don't want them to receive the curses. So that's the way I look at it. And I think you guys should look at it the same way.
I think as moms, sometimes we are really hard on ourselves. We're like, well, I really blew that. Or, you know, I really don't think I'm a good mom. We have those times of doubt. And praying the scriptures over yourself is a good thing, too. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And when I have a really rough moment, I would just pray, you know, Lord God, I said, I just really don't know what I'm doing here. I pray that, Lord, that you would guide my steps, guide the things that I say to my children. Let me show them love. Like, I grew up in a home that didn't have a lot of love expressed, and I wanted to make sure my kids knew without a shadow of a doubt that they were loved, and they were just like, I know, Mom. I'd be like, I love you. I know, Mom, you know. So, you know, just pray, you know, when you're having a bad day, you know, say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I need your help. And it says in the Bible, if you pray for wisdom, he'll give it to you without measure, and he never lets you down. Just keep your eyes on the Lord and trust in him that he'll help you navigate the difficulties of, and the joys of raising children.
Yeah, that's good.
I would say to young mothers to make sure that you realize discipline's necessary, but love is discipline. And if you put those two together, sometimes we separate them, but you discipline only because you do love. But don't let that love be anything that's going to hurt your child. Don't tell him what he isn't. Tell him what he is. Tell him what he can be. I had a paper this morning. Shame to say, but I hope the pastor has a copy, that says 101 things to say to a child to make him feel special. And boy, when I read that, I said, I got a long way to go before I can say something negative about him. I would ask you to just make sure that your child knows that he's loved, and loved not only by what you give him, the importance, and the greatest love you'll ever give him is the knowledge of Jesus Christ and his blood that came for all of us.
Amen. You know, we're going to finish here with this, but yes, go ahead.
I just thought of something else. I said, our kids, when they're going through the different stages, they doubt themselves. They don't believe in themselves. And I really encourage you to speak life over your children, to say, you are beautiful. You know, like my daughter say, I'm ugly. I'm like, I made her stand in front of the mirror, and I'd stand behind her. I say, now say in the mirror, I am beautiful. I am loved. I am the daughter of the King Most High. You know, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me, and all this stuff. And then you're speaking truth and life into their, and they can hear themselves say it, then they start to believe it.
Yeah, one of the things that, Bobby, you said that just really stuck with me. A couple weeks ago, you and I got together, and we started talking about this, and I started stressing your life out, saying you were going to come up front and help with this. But I asked you a question. I said, if you knew you were going to die tomorrow, what would you want to say to your kids? And she gave me the most powerful answer. And I want to finish with this, because it didn't work in so far. She just simply says, nothing. I want to make sure it's already all been said. And I think that's powerful. Father, thank you for your goodness. Thank you for these ladies, Lord, that have lived and are living a life that is expressing both the character of Christ and the power of Christ, so that those who are around them will be able to catch the reality of a Christ that is not dead. For we don't serve a dead religion. We serve a Christ that is alive and active in our lives. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for producing the fruit and producing the power day by day. And Lord, I believe that you have yet good things in store in front of every person in this room. And Lord, I pray that every person would choose to receive it. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. Amen. Now, you can now give these ladies a warm round of applause. Thank you.